does the ship of your life, tossing on the sea of strife, you need someone. If you feel so all alone, and your house is not a home, you need someone. If it seems life isn't fair, and there's no one left to share all those lonely days and nights, when things just won't turn out right, and you want someone to care, and someone to just be there, you need someone. I give you Jesus. He's a peace that passes all understanding. I give you Jesus. He's a perfect love that casts out all fear. If the pressure's all around, keep your spirit to the ground. You need someone. If your body is in pain, and your health you can't regain, you need someone. If there are times that you have tried with all the strength you have in, remember on the cross he nailed all the bitterness and grief to give you peace and sweet relief. For he is that someone that you need. So I give you Jesus. He's the peace that passes all understanding. I give you Jesus. He's a perfect love that casts out all fear. I give you Jesus. He's the water that you drink and never thirst again. I give you Jesus, my friend. I give you Jesus, there's just something about that name. I give you Jesus, my friend. I give you
If you would this morning, take your Bibles and go with me to the book of John. John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3, a very famous portion of Scripture. And a time when the Lord Jesus, in great compassion to a sincere seeker, is explaining the way to heaven. And I found out that there are a lot of sincere seekers looking for the pathway and the road, the information, the truth on finding eternal life. This young man Nicodemus, a young ruler, he finds his way to the Lord Jesus by night. He was a Pharisee, a very religious man. He was very learned in the Scripture, the Old Testament. We mention this often, but it just astounding to me. A Pharisee at that time would have committed to memory the books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. By memory, just Genesis alone is 50 chapters. This man was very religious, but Jesus had come and things were changing. And on the horizon, lots was going to change because Jesus Christ would fulfill all of Old Testament prophecy. Born of a virgin, a man that lived a sinless life, sent from God, God in the flesh. Jesus Christ would soon die on the cross of Calvary, be buried in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, arise triumphantly from the dead, ascend into heaven to prepare a place for us, a place the Bible calls heaven, not a figment of our imagination, but a real live place. Heaven is as much a real place as Bowling Springs Baptist Church is today. And it has an alternative also, hell. It's worse than we could ever dream. And lots of great people are looking for a way to heaven. We find it very plainly and simply in God's Word and wrapped up in a chapter of God's Word here in the book of John, chapter number 3. We can narrow it down even to a verse. But the truth that all men need a Savior repeats itself over and over and over again in Scripture. And I want to share a message with all of us and those of you that are seeking help from the Lord. Share a message with you from God's Word from John chapter 3. Look at it with me beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Jesus Christ's answer to a decent, God-fearing person on how to be saved. He says you must be born again. There's a change. New life. And he boils it down to the simple statement of Bible verse that so many people learn as just a child in Sunday school. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to share with you this morning a message simply on the love of God. The love of God. It's very plain, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that men are sinful. As a matter of fact, the Bible makes it very plain that all men are sinful. There's not a person alive that doesn't have a sin nature. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All is a very inclusive word. This is my favorite definition of all. All means all, and that's all that all means. The Bible says, for all have sinned. We've all sinned. It's interesting, my little children, my boys, I love them dearly. They've grown up in a sheltered home, a pastor's home, but you know what? I never taught them to lie. I don't know if Ruth did when I wasn't looking or what. But I never taught them to lie, but you know what? Them little knuckleheads, they'll tell you a lie. You got to be careful. I'm just warning you. You ever deal with Ian and Hudson? Them boys will tell you a lie. I love them. But they have a sin nature. Now, what do we do with our sin? Well, God has a plan for sin. What does God do with sin? The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's terrible. Both physical death and spiritual death. For the wages of sin is death. You know what that death is? It's eternal separation from God. I'm so thankful that the Bible doesn't stop there. Every time I find in the Scripture a problem, God gives us an answer. It's a serious problem when you think of the fact that all men have sinned, and the wages, what we get paid for our sin, the cost of our sin, is death. It's a problem. Hallelujah, the Bible doesn't stop there. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What do we do with our sin? There's only one way to deal with sin, and that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ Himself paid the price for our sins. This day in Jesus' life and ministry, in John chapter 3, when He's talking to Nicodemus, not a bad person, not an atheist, a very religious person who believed in Jehovah God, a creator, who had studied the Bible. Jesus needed to explain to him that there was one little thing missing. He hadn't put Jesus in His proper place. As he shares the hope of the gospel, he tells him, you must be born again. And he says, here it is, very simply. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He had something to share, and I want to look at it this morning. First of all, let's consider the gift. The gift. The Bible says in John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I've in my Bible circled the word gave. You see, Jesus gave a gift. God from heaven sent a gift. He sent His own Son to pay the price for our sins. What a great gift, the gift of love. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. There's an old gospel hymn that says, well, if I put it in country boy terms, they're very eloquent about it. They said, if there was every stick or something that was a pen, and all the water in the ocean was ink, and every man a scribe, there wouldn't be enough ink and paper and scribes to write it out, the love of God. The love of God is so vast. Describe it to me. God is love. God in His infinite wisdom says, for God so loved the world. Oh, He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I want you to know something, that Jesus is our gift of eternal life. Jesus is looking and says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten." So let's consider this gift. I want to think about it for a minute. And I like to think about what God is trying to tell us. What was Jesus trying to tell Nicodemus? He said, "Nicodemus, I know you're religious, but I need to tell you about something that God has done for you. Jesus, God has sent me," as He's speaking here in John 3:16, "to offer you eternal life." He says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." As we think through the chronology of the Scriptures, how things come in order, John chapter 3 is in red if you have a red letter Bible. That means Jesus said it. Jesus at this time is still alive. Jesus has not quite yet made it to the cross. He's not quite made it to the tomb. He's not quite made it out of the tomb, and He's not ascended into heaven. But Jesus Christ says in the past tense, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." He said it in the past. It's interesting to me that Jesus, speaking of Himself, considers the fact that His gift was in the past. You know that Jesus Christ has been the way of salvation for all of eternity. And Jesus Christ is the gift of salvation. Don't you know something? You don't have to take care of your sin debt alone. You don't have to pay the price by yourself. You don't have to work your way to heaven. As a matter of fact, you cannot. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." What a gift. He gave His only begotten Son. What a gift that Jesus gave. I have two boys, and I can't imagine giving one of my boys. I'll do just anything for them. I know I'll give my life for my children. But God saw a need, and in love, He gave His only begotten Son. The answer for you, a sincere seeker, is Jesus, the gift. Number two, let's consider the plan of salvation. According to John 3:16, the Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I've got in my Bible circled the little word "believeth." There's the plan of salvation. It's very simple. Faith in Jesus Christ. He paid the price for our sins. He's the gift of God. The way to heaven is to believe on Him. The Bible says, "Without faith is impossible to please Him." Speaking of God. The Bible says we should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we understand something about believing. The Bible says, "Whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now it's one thing to believe as in a fact, but it's another thing to believe as in faith. You see, it's hard to discredit the fact that Jesus literally existed. Today is June 2nd, 2013 A.D. A.D. means in the year of our Lord. Who's that? Jesus Christ. Every day we turn the page on our calendars in honor of the fact that Jesus existed. It's hard to deny that He actually lived. He did live. And you can believe that He lived. But Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus, a man who believed that He existed, He was in His presence. Jesus said, "You must believe. Whosoever believeth on Him should not perish." You see, there's a difference. I called on the Lord as a child and I trusted Jesus Christ with myself. What's it mean to believe? It means to trust yourself with Him. You see, we think, if I can please God, how can I please God? How can I please God? How can I please God? Well, I'll work. This world is full of shrines that people have made trying to please God, which none of it happens. The Bible says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work your way to heaven. The Bible says that your righteousness is like filthy rags. As hard as I try, the best I am is not good enough. But Jesus is. What's the plan of salvation? According to John 3:16, we must believe in our heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be willing to trust Him and Him alone for our soul salvation. We must be willing to say, Lord, I'm counting on You. I've asked You to forgive my sins. Believeth. The plan of salvation, it goes on. Number three, the persons for whom the plan is available. John 3:16, the Bible says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In my Bible, just before believe, I've got circled the little word, whosoever. When I was a child, I remember people saying, whosoever means me. Whosoever means you. I can fill in the blank. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that if Cody Sturgill would believe in Him, he should not perish but have everlasting life. You can put your name in there. You can claim that promise. If I, whosoever. You know, there's a lot of people who think that this doesn't apply to them. But it does. Every person needs the Lord. Every person can receive the Lord. There's no sin that's too great for Jesus Christ to forgive. And there's no person too good that they don't need His forgiveness. We need to ask forgiveness for our sin. Our sin nature. Our sinful self. Whosoever. Who's it for? It's for you. And then look what the Bible says. The deliverance that it offers. What does Jesus give? Preacher, why do I need to accept Jesus Christ? Why? Because He offers deliverance. Look what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. My Bible, I've circled those three little words. Should not perish. The Bible says it's appointed that a man wants to die. After this, the judgment. The Bible, speaking of our life, says our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Our life is short. And death is coming to every person. But Jesus Christ offers this great gift. Should not perish. I've seen it on many church signs and I like it very well. Sometimes you'll see a slogan that says, Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. The Bible teaches us that there is both a physical and a spiritual death. If you come into this world, you're born into this world, and you never accept the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, if you never ask Him to forgive your sins and be your Lord, just like Nicodemus, if he'd never accepted Christ, he would have been eternally separated from God in a place called hell. Born once, die twice, physically and spiritually. Born twice, die once. Born like me, February 16th, 1982, to save you from having to do the math, I'm 31 years old today. I was born the son of Betsy and Daniel. But there came a time when I realized I was a sinner without the Lord. I'd spend eternity in hell. And very simply, I knew in my heart I was a sinner. And Jesus paid the price for my sins. And I asked Him by faith to forgive my sins. God, by His Spirit, changed my life when I prayed in faith and believed Him for my soul salvation. Should not perish. What a wonderful thing. Finally, the possession. What does God give us? If you accept Jesus as your Savior, What do you get? If you have accepted Christ as Savior, and so many of us have, what do you have? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting. I've got a question for you. It's going to be hard. How long is everlasting? Everlasting. Well, how long is everlasting? It's everlasting. When does everlasting end? Never. According to John 3:16, when does everlasting life begin? Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When I've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, everlasting life begins. I don't want you to be confused. When Jesus saved my soul, He gave me this promise: I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When Jesus saved my soul, He made me this promise that I would inherit everlasting life. Oh, you know, what a great possession. Eternity, heaven, is not something I receive at the moment I die. But that was a gift I received from God the moment I believed. I'm so thankful for everlasting life. I'm so thankful for everlasting life. And we find it only one place. You see, Jesus is Lord and Savior, for He's a liar. Jesus is Lord and Savior. You know what Jesus said? Jesus Christ Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. But by Me. You know, we're all planners, planning our lives. What's the next step? What's the next day? What's the next year? Story of a young man, a very ambitious man, young man. He was preparing to graduate from high school, and he had considered so many things: where he was going to go to school, what he wanted to do with his life, where he wanted to, who the person he wanted to marry, the job he wanted to pursue, the life he wanted to live. And a Christian layman with a lot of spiritual insight and wisdom spoke very kindly to the young man. He said, "Son, what are you going to do when you get out of high school?" The young man had it all figured out. He laid his plan out. The Christian gentleman very kindly said, "What then?" He said, "Well, after I get out of college, I'm going to be getting a job. I got something I want to do. This is what I want to work. I want to do." The Christian gentleman said, "Well, what then?" He said, "Well, when I start working, I'm going to work. I'm going to save a retirement, and then when I retire with my wife, we're going to have a time. I'm looking forward to it." As a young man, the old man with great wisdom said, "What then?" The young man said, "Well, I guess I'll die." The Christian man said, "What then? What then?" You can attempt to believe that there is no God. You can attempt to believe that there is not life after death. But everything in God's Word points to the fact that there is. If there is not life after death, if there is no heaven, Jesus Christ is a lie. And He is not. And in your life and in your plans, you may be a young person with your life ahead of you. Think of every stage of your life and then get to death and ask this question: what then? What's next? I can tell you with great assurance that I don't fear death and its sting. Why? Because there's some wonderful truth in this little verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The what then in my life has been answered by the Lord Jesus Christ. I've sat by the bedside of many folks as they prepare to die. I've sat by the bedside of folks who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and I've seen the grace of God on their life because the what then had been answered with Jesus Christ. And I've seen the opposite too. Folks who said, I don't know. I won't believe. I've watched the torment of people with no hope. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Why do we have a church? Because Jesus is the answer for lost people's condition. This is not a social club. We're not here to play games and have bingo night. We're here to preach the gospel and offer hope to a lost and dying world. Jesus is the answer. Jesus, will you accept His free gift and answer that final question? What then? What then? Come to Christ, I pray.